Pop Culture Meltdown.
Episode 7. It's Pop Culture Meltdown. Chris Libertini and Louis Pellegrino.
Yeah. What's going on?
There he is. It's Louis.
Oh, it's me.
I'm excited.
I hate that name.
I'm excited. Well, you look gorgeous, Louis.
Oh, thank you.
You're beautiful. Very excited about this. We have a lot of things coming up. We have our first segment at the movies with a longtime friend of mine, Dan Barsnicka, who's like an expert.
We got to do something about that last name.
Yeah, you got to clean it up.
Barsnicka?
Well, actually, when he goes out to eat, he says Barnes.
Got
Party of four. So, you know, we don't really deal with the Barsnicka.
All right.
And also, John Bachelor's coming up.
Nice.
How happy are you
Killer
about that?
Killer Bees segment.
The Killer Bees. So, you know, we got Barsnicka, we got Bachelor, and I'm pretty excited. I bring up Duck Hunt. There's a lot happening.
Well, Seth Rogen
made
you think
That's a good
of
point.
Duck Hunt.
That's a good point.
Oh, man, Duck Hunt. It brings back so many good memories for me. And,
Sitting there playing a little Nintendo.
Yeah, this will have to be an off-the-air discussion, but Duck Hunt was a lot of fun at one point in my life.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah.
Well, color me very, very interested.
Sorry, everybody. Right,
exactly.
We'll have to tell you at another time, but Chris, this will be off the air for you and off the record, obviously.
So I'm interested talking with Bachelor about the 3D printing craze. There's a lot of 3D printing stories in the news right now that we're going to get to with Bachelor, and it's pretty freaking interesting, if I say so myself.
It's amazing what you can do with 3D printing. It's also scary what you can do with 3D printing. And this story is more on the scary side. I'm surprised you don't hear more about this, and we'll get into this with John. We're not going to let the cat out of the bag just yet, but it's just... It's an amazing thing, and it's a scary thing, and I'll leave it at that.
Very much so. And without any further ado, John Bachelor's walking in.
And now it's time for news on Pop Culture Meltdown. It's A Bite with Bachelor, starring John Bachelor. Let's eat food and get knowledge.
Time to get knowledge, Louis.
I'm ready. I'm ready to eat up everything John's selling.
That's it. Everybody strap in, and let's go. It's A Bite with Bachelor, and we've got Columbay. It is a vanilla latte, and we're going to cheers John Bachelor here. We're drinking the Columbay Draft Vanilla Latte, and John Bachelor, what are your impressions of this drink?
Your health.
My health. Well,
yes,
thank you very much.
Yes, your health.
Enjoy.
It's not sweet enough for me. I am a fake sugar guy from way back.
Fake sugar. Yeah, so if it's got fake sugar, it's all John Bachelor.
This is a little flat for me.
Okay.
However,
yes.
It's got a kick.
It does have a little bit of a kick.
Yeah.
So I only drink half of this thing, put it in the fridge, and drink the other half at like 3 p.m.
That explains your low energy.
Right, exactly.
Like, yeah.
Low energy Jeb
yes,
over here,
yes.
sitting across
yes,
from you.
Yeah.
We want to get right to it. We're about to be approaching the postseason. The Athletics started off the year. Louis, why don't you take us through?
Yeah, so I saw a stat yesterday that I believe since 1988, and this is probably when they really started looking at payrolls, the Oakland A's have made the playoffs with a opening day roster of $66 million total. It's the lowest, I believe, total salary for a team to make the playoffs since 1988. And I love stories like this.
That is a very nice statistic. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's the Moneyball team, right?
Moneyball.
Yeah. So it's Moneyball part two.
Is this left over from Moneyball, or were they like that before?
You know what? The A's have always been a franchise that if they had star players, they stayed with them during their contracts, and if they were going to end up being outbidded, they would trade them, or
Reggie Jackson.
Right,
Reggie Jackson.
But he, most recently with the Moneyball, they lost Giambi to the Yankees, they lost Damon to the Red Sox, they lost Jason Isringhausen, they lost a bunch of players. And now it's like they're doing it again. And for me, and I'm sure you probably feel the same way, but I want your opinion on this, it's a breath of fresh air. Because living in New York, you see the Yankees with their high payroll, the Dodgers, the Red Sox, you see how high these payrolls are, and that's great. If you have the money, spend to build your team. But when a team pays $66 million combined for their opening day lineup and they make the playoffs, there's something like that makes you feel like good for them and good for baseball that this is actually happening.
They're not only going to make the playoffs, they're in the chase right now.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a week to play, and a lot of other teams don't have anything to do this week.
Yeah, now they're playing for home field with the Yanks.
Sure.
Yeah. That's the Yanktropolitans.
And they got an impressive pitching staff that shouldn't work but does.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you consider that the Yankees are ready to buy Machado, Harper, and they bought Stanton altogether.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
And they can't, it can't be certain with a week to go that the A's aren't going to catch him.
Right.
Good for the A's.
Yeah, I love it.
Good on him.
I love that. And your boy Jacob DeGrom looked really solid in his last outing.
He needs a team.
He does. But you know what, though? The way you're looking at it right now as a Met fan, or at least how I'm looking at it, it's the same thing when R.A. Dickey won the Cy Young. That's a nice feather in the organization's cap. Jose Reyes, before he left for the Marlins, he won the batting title, which is a first for a Met. A Met has never won the batting title. So now this year, it was a season of ups and downs, a lot more downs than ups. But Jacob DeGrom is on the verge of one of the greatest, not wins and losses, and in this day and age, wins and losses don't matter anymore, but one of the best statistical pitching performances from start to finish, period. And Jacob DeGrom has already been on the map. I think his splash was the All-Star game where he struck out the side on like nine or ten pitches. And now it's, okay, now he's got a little bit of the hardware to go with it. Then maybe next year's, you never know, a World Series, an MVP, you know, but
all right,
it's
I want to be difficult.
Please do.
When you're playing on a loser, you're the star. Everybody comes to see you. Mm-hmm. Your stats get emphasized the next day. Yeah, we lost, but, right?
Yep.
When you're playing on a winner, the pressure is very different. And when Verlander or Kershaw take the mound, they're going to win because they're in the chase.
True.
That's and hits matter. And if a run scores in the first inning, people have doubts about whether the team can come back. Look at the Dodgers, right? The Dodgers always go down 2-1 in the fourth inning. I mean, it's their thing.
Yeah.
Then since they acquired the Machado answer, right, they come roaring back. Maybe Kershaw's there, maybe he's not. But Kershaw's on the mound to dominate, to win this, and then to go in the playoffs. DeGrom doesn't have that pressure. He's out there to startle, yes, but not to win because it doesn't matter.
Well, in 2015, I think he did that. He proved to me when he went into Chicago and he didn't have his best stuff and he gutted through 6-7 innings and they beat the Cubs. I get what you're saying because these games, there are no pressure. But if there's anyone on the mound and on that staff that I have no qualms that could throw his glove out there and have no-hit stuff in a big spot, it's DeGrom.
And give it to the Red Sox. They beat him. They didn't beat him, but they beat the Mets that night because they waited him out, and then they closed, what, the 7th, 8th, or 9th?
Yep.
That's what's wrong with the Mets. Wrong with the Mets
is, be here all day.
Is they're willing. No, they're willing to say that's a success.
Of course. But that also comes down to the ownership, because I feel that the ownership, a buddy of mine has a great saying or phrase that he gives the Wilpons, that they're well-meaning dopes. And what he means by that is they try to do the right thing, but no matter what they try and how they try to do it, it always seems to backfire, whether it's Jason Bay's contract, whether it's, you know, bringing back Jose Reyes, whether it's a couple of other moves the front office has made. They try to remain competitive. They try to keep up. Unfortunately, they try to keep up with the Yankees, and they really shouldn't even try to keep up with the Yankees.
It's a different league.
It's a different league, exactly. Yeah. But, you know, I just think that DeGrom, DeGrom is 9-9, and I know we talk about how losses don't mean as much, but if he had an offense who could hit for him, Jacob DeGrom very easily could be 17-1.
They were even saying yesterday that they came out with a stat, if he got 2 runs a game on average, he'd be 30-0. Legitimately 30-0.
It's absolutely insane.
Granted, he's playing for nothing. Granted, it's the old Brooklyn Dodgers wait till next year thing, which is, you know, all the time with this team, but he's still amazing. He's still doing it himself. I mean, he's still going for the personal stats. I get what you're saying, John. I totally agree with what you're saying. If he was on a contender, like if you put him on, let's say you put him on the A's, for God's sake. Trade him to the Brewers.
Who are they getting in return?
Yelich.
Yelich.
I want That's Yelich. Not happening.
Of course not, but I want Yelich.
Kane. Lorenzo Cain. You got a leadoff man forever in Lorenzo Cain. Yes, fine. DeGrom is not. They're not. The Mets are not going to win next year. They're not going to win the year after that. Not their energy level. It's not going to happen.
John Batchelor, what if somebody bought a 3D printer and printed out their own Jacob DeGrom?
Yeah,
how close are we to doing that?
We're on top of 3D printers right now. The car companies are ready to 3D print parts for their manufacturing hubs, so that we don't have supply chain difficulties.
Right.
We're ready to 3D print on the moon colony and on the Mars colony.
How does Elon Musk think about this?
Elon Musk is a problem. I don't address him anymore. After that nonsense about Tesla, I bypass him. I don't like the vanity.
You think it's a little much?
It's not about results. It stopped being about results. Why SpaceX works is because Glenn Shotwell, his CEO, runs it. Mm-hmm. Why the Boring Company works, the tunneling, is because he has someone to run it. Musk is too much money, too much time, and too much access to the media, and he's turned himself in. He's not Branson, but he's in that pathway.
He's trying to Zuckerberg himself, you know, with all the media.
Zuckerberg
coverage.
Hasn't started to talk like this yet.
Right.
Though. Right.
Zuckerberg talks in riddles.
Now, Musk is talking enough to get himself made president of the United States. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Okay.
Where did Trump come from? Once upon a time, there was a guy named Ed Koch. This is ancient history.
Of course,
I know
Ed
who
Koch.
Ed Koch is.
This is ancient history.
I met Ed Koch when I was in second grade.
Ed Koch couldn't get the ice rink done. He couldn't get it done. Nobody could get it done. Trump comes along. Who's this guy? Says, I can get it done. He hires a work crew. They come in. They do the ice rink on Central Park.
Yep.
That puts him on the map. A man who can get things done. Now he's speaking at the UN, telling everybody that America is the greatest country. They laugh at him. That we had the best year. They laugh at him. He smiles back. He steals the scene. That's where you get presidents from, right?
Right.
Musk is quality for president. But running a company I trust, no.
Okay.
3D printing, not for Musk. Now, let's go to where 3D printing matters.
Yes.
It matters in the supply chain. Why we're having difficulty right now is because China is a mercantilist society that is closed-minded about the future. And the Trump administration is challenging it with its allies directly. Our supply chain is based upon Chinese manufacturing, right? That's going to be a disruption for us when this goes into the winter. Mm-hmm. There are workarounds. They'll be a little more expensive, not bearably expensive, because China can be too cheap to outbid its competitors. But 3D printing solves the supply chain. It can solve big pieces of it. A lot of the inexpensive products, I'm being polite here, mm-hmm. that China produces, we don't need to go to China for.
We make them here.
Or Mexico. I think Mexico looks like the big winner right now. We've got an economy down there that is inexpensive compared to ours. Transportation is easy across the border. Mm-hmm. They need a solution. They've got a new president who wants to do business with Trump, hence the half a NAFTA deal. Mm-hmm. And they've got manufacturing hubs that can handle the supply chain that we put into China. Mm-hmm. So that's my solution to China. What I think happens to China after we pull our supply chain out, just 10% of it. Right now, the IMF has lowered China's estimates for the year to 6.1%. What does 6.1% growth mean to China? Recession, unemployment, and trouble in the streets. That's what it means. Right now, they need our supply chain, mm-hmm. and they've got a bad leadership that's non-transparent, a bunch of billionaires, and they're not listening to us. All this because of 3D printing.
Well, let me ask you this. 3D printing's been in the news. Have you seen what happened with the Lion King, the puppet maker from Lion King?
No.
So he brought in a 3D printing a facility or a device or whatever you want to call it, and they were cleaning out his desks as they were letting him go, and they found that he was making a gun and that he was pretty close to completing making a gun. This is right over here on Broadway.
And
the excuse was because his brother lives in upstate New York and has permits, so he was making it for him. And I guess...
Wait. This is a cartoon maker, right?
The Broadway show. He's a puppeteer.
Yeah, okay. Puppeteer, yeah. And he's got a 3D printing press owns.
Does New York City do this to people?
I don't know. It must be in the
water.
We
have the best police force on the planet. They're heavily armed. Why does he need a weapon?
I don't know. But this is what it brings. And you have a 3D printer at your house. All of a sudden, you start making guns.
Yeah.
You make this. And the guy who created the 3D printer, this guy Cody Wilson, is in his own bit of trouble. I don't know if you've seen this in the news.
No.
It came up that he was charged with sexual assault for paying for a 16-year-old girl for sex. And now he's been imported back into the U.S.
Yeah.
Actually, we'll bring in Dan Barsnick. I wanted to talk about this real quick with you and ask you a quick question. Dan?
Hey, Dan. To clear up, he was in the news, Cody Wilson, for having the intellectual property for the 3D printing of the gun. He had just run up against the lawsuit with the and he was vowing to fight it, but he was arrested for and charged, extradited from Taiwan for child sex charges. And
so he's done.
Oh, he's done. Yeah. He, yeah. As of today, he stepped down from the board of the company that he ran. But this was the guy that was running up against Capitol Hill with the blueprints for the 3D gun.
All right. Advice to younger people who think they can beat the man. You cannot beat the man. The man has a radio.
Okay? Uh-huh.
You cannot beat the man. That's old-fashioned advice, updated with technology. Mm-hmm. You cannot beat the man.
Can't beat the man.
Right.
Well, here's the question I guess I'll ask you, because I'm kind of a novice when it comes to 3D printing. I understand the technology and I know what they do. What, in John Batchelor's world, are the pros and cons of 3D printing? Because you know that everybody who gets their hands on a 3D printer or the specs are going to try to make some sort of weapon, or you never know nowadays.
What if they make a nuclear device?
So what are the pros and cons?
Right now, I use Amazon as a 3D printer. That's what happens. I click the button, it shows up in a carton.
That's
right?
Pretty fantastic.
A 3D printer would cut out the truck and the carton. It would just show up in the machine. And if I'm the way I am, I don't want to assemble this weed whacker, you then have experts to go around and assemble it for you. Although it's pretty simple. I've busted enough weed whackers to know that I could put one together if they give me the parts.
Right, yeah. Right. Reverse engineering.
Now, the battery, I don't know that we can 3D print the battery. So there might need to be a truck to deliver the nickel battery.
Got it.
Right.
Wasn't that your nickname in high school, the weed whacker?
Yeah, the weed whacker. Well, they actually used to call me nickel battery, but you know. That was only on Thursdays. John Batchelor, thank you so much for taking the time out today, as always.
And detail, right?
Yes.
We're going to have a conversation about the Mets and the Yankees and everything this winter, right?
Of course.
In our despair. In our despair.
Yes.
And you're going to defend Conforto? Do I understand that?
Very much so. I will be defending his left shoulder, and I will be defending now that it means nothing. He's tearing the world on fire.
Yes, now that it means nothing. And I will have all the Conforto facts at my fingertips in order to fend you off.
Oh, I look forward to it.
Oh, this
is
great.
I want Conforto in Detroit ASAP.
For who? Who are we getting?
Yeah, Fulmer.
Who are the Mets
Give
getting?
Him away.
Give him
no.
away. No. You got to at least get Michael Fulmer for her. At least. Fulmer, or Castellano.
Get Fulmer back?
Right, get Fulmer back.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Sure, yeah, okay.
Yeah, sure, they're suckers. Yeah.
the return for Cespedes.
He never disappoints.
There it is. John Batchelor, thank you so much. We'll see you soon.
Right. Thank you.
Okay, guys.
Listen, I'm speechless. Every time the guy delivers, I swear to you, I could listen to him for hours. Mm-hmm. Read the phone book.
Here's the phone book.
I mean, my God. He knows a lot about everything.
But he's a cool dude too.
That too.
Like he's
love the pinstripe suit, love the bow tie.
Yeah. He's so put together. He's a smart guy.
Yeah.
You talk to him and he goes, "Oh yeah, by the way, Lou, I'm excited."
Yeah, I am too.
I got this guy here. His name is Dan Barsnica. And one of my very, very close friends, he and I grew up where our parents used to drop us off at the mall. My dad would record meetings at work on this little recorder, this little mini recorder with the little mini tapes.
Oh, I have one.
Back in the day, kids, they were actually tapes. There's no MP3 BS. So long story short, we're in the middle of the movie theater and we would do movie reviews. Bird on the Wire. Any movie that we watched at that time, we would do a literal 2.5 to 5 minute review before we'd see the movie. What are we going to expect from this? Well, I think Mel Gibson's going to really put on this great thing. And it is like absolutely batshit crazy. So,
Goldie Hawn looks really hot in that movie.
Exactly correct. So what, I've decided to do with your approval, and thank you very much for letting me bring him on, is this guy, Dan Barsnica. We're going to bring him on. And I'll start it off by saying, I'm Chris.
I'm Lou.
And I'm Dan.
And we're at the movies. Tremendous. So, Dan, welcome. You are a pretty fantastic human being. We'll get right into
Thank
your
you.
Levels of expertise, which everybody will now see. Let's get right into it with Rick and Morty.
Well, first off, thank you, Lou and Chris, for having me here. It's been about 25 years since I've spoken into a recording device with you. It's now digital, not analog. the last movie we did was the Hudsucker Proxy.
Oh,
back
boy.
In the day.
Exactly correct.
Back,
I developed it myself. You know, for kids.
We snuck off to the theater when we weren't supposed to, and your mom was pretty pissed off. She picked us up in the middle of the film, if I recall.
Exactly
that
correct.
That must have been fun. I would have loved to have seen Christopher!
She was not happy.
It's a whole deal.
Thank you for having me here. Would love to talk about movies and TV shows. Like you said, talk about the hottest show on Adult Swim Cartoon Network right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's everywhere, is Rick and Morty.
So they came out and they said in the spring that 70 episodes of the show were just ordered. And then all of a sudden, they went on hiatus.
They've been on hiatus. Mm-hmm. It's been over a year since season three premiered. And we were told from Mr. Poopy Butthole, who's one of the characters, at the end of season three to expect a long wait.
Hi, I'm Mr. Poopy Butthole from episode 204. Hoo-wee!
I think all fans were excited by the tweet about a month or two ago confirming that the creators Dan Harmon and Justin Roiland were on the same page and to expect 70 more episodes because... Yeah, you know, quite frankly, it's one of the funniest things on TV today in the half-hour programming block.
I wonder how tough that is when you get a 70-episode order.
Yeah.
And I'm sure your first reaction is, great, we're going to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second reaction is, shit, we have to come up with content.
Yeah, considering you only have 30 episodes in the can, you just more than doubled your existing content. So I'm for sure it's going to be a lot of work.
Well, you need to at least call McDonald's for the Szechuan dipping sauce.
I read and that was fantastic. And we were talking about that before we started recording, and that's when I guess you know you have something really, really special, because when you can take something as specific, quite specific as Szechuan dipping sauce, which I did not know McDonald's started for Mulan when Disney came out with the movie.
Yep, back in the mid-90s.
They made a Szechuan.
Back in 1998, just to be
clear. Limited edition dipping sauce, the Szechuan dish dipping sauce, and in the premiere episode of season three, Rick says the entire series arc is to get that Szechuan dipping sauce back. He hasn't had it for 2 decades, and he can't get the taste out of his mouth. Boom. McDonald's re-releases it. Product marketing problem on their fault. They didn't make enough Szechuan dipping sauce.
And it caused a frenzy.
Oh, yeah. Lou was reading up. They had lines around the block. They had people demanding, banging on the windows, where's my Szechuan dipping sauce? So it's a show that is meta, definitely reaches a large target audience, both corporate and individual.
And they're nominated for Emmys.
Well, are they really?
Yeah. Like, for instance, Lou was just shown the Pickle Rick episode.
Mm-hmm.
That was nominated for an Emmy. And it's asked by the therapist, Rick is asked, and he says, I don't respect therapy.
Yeah, voiced by Susan Sarandon as well. So they get a lot of star power. Mm-hmm. Danny Trejo is in the most recent season. Christian Slater as well. So you got some big names who want to be on the show.
So, okay, you and I, we don't know each other. Mm-hmm. We step into an elevator. You have 2 floors to sell me on Rick and Morty. Go.
Okay, it's a buddy comedy, except the buddy in this case is a nihilistic, brilliant, super genius of a grandfather, Rick. And his prepubescent grandson, Morty, who's unwillingly dragged along in the adventures along with the rest of the family. But what they do is they have an unlimited amount of storylines to go with due to Rick's portal gun, allows him to get to various dimensions. So from there, it's a completely visceral comedy as far as some of the episodes. They take the sight gags quite far, but it's an intelligent comedy as well.
All right, we're at my floor.
Yeah,
well, no, it worked. It worked.
Prattling on there.
It worked.
I want to stay on the elevator. Lou, I'll meet you later.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, right, exactly. I'm gonna go up to the 5th floor now instead of the 2nd floor. But that sounds great.
That's exactly what it is. And it's such a smart comedy. Dan actually introduced it to me and said, dude, you got to watch this.
I want to. And the thing is, I watch Family Guy, whether it's on TBS, wherever I could find it, I watch Family Guy. I always see the commercials for Rick and Morty, but it's just one of those, oh, do I really want to take on another show? I don't know. How far are they into it? So if it's on Netflix, I may just catch up with it. Or if there's on, maybe on the Cartoon Network app.
On the app, and I know on Sunday nights they re-air it at midnight or at 11 o'clock. So you hit the record button on whatever device you
use.
If people still plug in the cable anymore, I don't
know. Quiz me next time.
I kind of want to go back to our pop culture roots here, and you know those colognes back in the day when we were teenagers in the late 90s?
Oh,
if you love Jakar, you'll love whatever.
Cool water.
It's cool water. Right, whatever, but I'm saying, but so
Joop.
Like, Joop, exactly. So it's like, what I say right now is if you like Family Guy, you'll love Rick and Morty.
Sure, okay, I'm down.
It's a back and forth.
Right, because after Family Guy, I started watching Robot Chicken, and now after Robot Chicken, I'm looking for that next one.
Yeah,
so,
the sketch non sequitur.
Right, like Aqua Team Hunger Force was pretty good, but if you're saying that Rick and Morty is like the way to go, then
that was 2002, Aqua Teen Hunger Force, that was some of the first programming on there. Mm-hmm. Harvey Birdman, the Brack Mac Show, C-Lab, and I have to say, this is the best programming in 15 years. They haven't come out with stuff like this. Venture Brothers.
I miss the Brack Show, dude. I miss Brack. I miss Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
C. Martin Croker, unfortunately, passed away 2 years ago. So the voice of Zorak and Moltar is gone.
I like to talk like this the whole time. Yeah. That's just the way I like to talk.
Oh, man. Miss that. So no Brack Show coming back, but they are making more Harvey Birdman episodes.
Which is tremendous.
They're making more Venture Brothers now, too. But as far as content, I'd say this is the best thing they put out in about 15 years.
I love it. Well, here it is. I'm Chris.
I'm Lou.
And I'm Dan.
And this has been
At the Movies.
We'll see you again next time on the next episode of Pop Culture Meltdown.
Ah, shut up.
Pop Culture Meltdown.
If you'd like to email the show, email popculturemeltdown@gmail.com and find us on Instagram at popculturemeltdown. Find John Bachelor on The John Bachelor Show every weeknight on Westwood One and follow on Twitter at The Bachelor Show. The voice of Pop Culture Meltdown is Dan Kelly, voice talent and one of the best human beings on the planet. For bookings, go to dankellyvo.com. Special thanks to myself, producer Laura Ponte, our graphic designer Ricky Soto, Tim Einkel with OG, and of course, the man, the myth, the legend, Chris Rudzki. This has been Pop Culture Meltdown with your hosts, Chris Libertini and Lou Pellegrino.
They are intelligent. They are smarter than the most up-to-date supercomputers. We cannot underestimate it.